right. Well, good morning, everyone. I brought flowers for myself. Just kidding. These are for Pastor Rochelle because yesterday was her birthday. And you can come up here and get these. There's your card. You're very welcome. Pastor Rochelle has been an encouragement to me over the past, I guess, a little more than a year and a half now, and a mentor and a spiritual mother, and she is just incredible, and she's the mother of the house, so it's important that we honor her. So happy birthday yesterday, if you haven't told her happy birthday. And then also, there's a, yeah, we can give her a hand. Thank you. We love you. You're awesome. And if it's your birthday in July, Taylor back there, she had a birthday. Tiff had a birthday. Alex, I just found out, had a birthday. Brian has a birthday. Tammy's birthday's tomorrow. So stand up if your birthday's in July. I just feel like we should celebrate everyone. I love celebrating people. Happy birthday, Kaylee. Jeez, man. Happy birthday, everyone. Way to go. I would sing happy birthday to you, but you don't want me to. So, yeah, it's really good to be here this morning. I am humbled and honored to be able to bring a word that I really feel like the Lord has put on my heart for this morning. And before I get started the sermon, I wanted to share something that I wrote in my journal that I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share this morning. And sometimes I get a word and I write it down, but I hope that this blesses somebody this morning because I feel like it's supposed to be read. So, when the enemy comes and brings you things that you've done in your past, submit yourself, your mind, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't fall into temptation and agree with the shame. What the enemy may be bringing to your mind might have actually happened, but it is not the truth of who you are. You have been washed by the blood. Anyone who wants to hold you down to the past is partnering with the devil, and you need to separate yourself from them. And if you're one of those people that are holding people down to their past, you need to knock it off and line yourself up with the heart of God. The past does not matter to anyone but the enemy. What matters is now and what you're going to do moving forward. When we hold ourselves or anyone else to the sins of their past, it is pride that is doing that. Because if it's me holding me to the sins of my past, I'm saying that I'm the most important instead of what Jesus did on the cross being the most important. If I'm holding someone else to the sin of their past, I'm most likely, not all the time, because many times it's bitterness and unforgiveness issue, but I'm most likely holding them to their past because I want to make myself feel better about the person I am. Well, I'm better than so-and-so because I didn't do what they did. I never cheated on my wife. Okay, well, have you ever looked at a woman with lust? Then you're guilty. Am I saying that to make you feel bad? No. I'm saying that to make Jesus the point. He's the whole point of everything, of life, of all of existence. He's the point. He's the reason that we all win. It's not because of what we've done. It never has been and it never will be. We are only made righteous through him. And it's time that we start acting like it. So that's what I wrote in my journal. That's what I wanted to share this morning. I want to ask you a question before I pray, before I really get started. How many of you know the story of the pearls, the pearl necklace? Anybody know that story, like when you're growing up? I know all the Smithy children know that story because it comes on 94.9 KLTY, which I'm not sure if that's still the station, but it comes on every Christmas. So if you have not heard the story of the pearls, the little girl with the pearls, please raise your hand. Oh, man. I ripped up the story because I was convinced everyone would know it. But here's the gist of the story is there is this little girl. She went to the store with her mom, and she found some pearls. And, of course, they're fake pearls, right? They were $1.50, which, of course, they wouldn't be that today. They'd probably be like $10. But they were $1.50, and she really wanted these pearls. And her mom told her, okay, I'll get you these pearls, but you have to work for them. So you can work to earn them. They're $1.50. And she knew that her birthday was coming up. She knew that she was going to get a fresh, shiny dollar bill from her grandma. And so there would be a dollar. and then all she needed to do was get 50 cents. So she did some chores, and she got the $1.50, and so then she was able to get her pearls. She was so happy about her pearls. She wore them everywhere, and there were these nights that her dad would come in, and he would pray with her every night. And he came in the first night, and he said, I think her name was Jenny, but Jenny, can I have your pearls? And she said, no, Daddy, you can't have my pearls. You can have my favorite baby doll, but you can't have my pearls. And he said, no, that's okay. I don't want your baby doll. He prayed with her, and he said, good night. I love you. He came in the next night, and he asked her, Jenny, can I have your pearls? She said, no, Daddy, you can't have my pearls. Again, this is what she worked for, right? I don't know how long she worked, but to a child, doing anything for 5 minutes is hard work. So she was really proud of these, and she wanted to keep them. So she said, Daddy, no, you can't have my pearls, but you can have this favorite toy. You got this for me for my birthday. You can have that. And he said, no, it's okay, baby girl. You can keep your pearls. And he prayed with her, and he said, I love you. And he went to bed. The next night, he came in, and she was sitting on her bed, and she was crying. And he said, what's wrong? And she said, Daddy, you can have my pearls. Because she realized he was going to keep asking every night. So she finally gave up the struggle, and she gave them to her daddy. And whenever she reached out her hand to give them to her dad, he pulled out a real pearl necklace from behind his back, and he gave the real pearls to Jenny in exchange for her fake pearls, the ones that she was so proud of and that she worked for. The point of the story is that there's so many times that we're holding on to things that God is asking us to give to him, and we don't want to because they're things, and they're not always material things, but they're things that we want to hold on to because we've worked hard for those things, right? Sometimes it's the unforgiveness that we have harbored in our heart because we deserve to keep that because somebody really hurt us. But if we would choose to give these things to God, he would give us something that is so far better than anything that we have done to work for, to have what we have. So that is, that's the start. And now I want to pray. So if you'll bow your heads. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal things in each of our lives here this morning that you want us to let go of. Lord, help us to recognize the things that you are asking us to surrender to you so that you can give us something better. Lord, you give us freedom. Help us to walk in that freedom. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place this morning. We love your presence, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as I've said, there are so many times that we hold on to our way of doing things, and God has a far better way of doing things. As Pastor Corey and Pastor Colin have talked about this month, being free from shame, fear, anxiety, it's not whether we have been set free. It's are we walking in the freedom? Or are we going to keep walking in the bondage? Are we choosing to stay captive? Because the choice is ours. And there's many times that we get distracted from that, or we think that it's not our choice, but it is. And why is it our choice? Because Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for our freedom, but he's not going to make us do anything. So last week, Pastor Corey kept talking about James 4, verse 7. And I want to put that up on the screen for you this morning. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he might flee from you. No. He will flee from you. When you are submitted to God, you recognize when the enemy comes. And you know when you're submitted to God, you know when you need to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He can't stick around in the presence of God. He hates it. He hates it. You know why? Because it's not about him. He only wants to be somewhere where he can be in charge. And when the presence of God is around, he's not in charge. So he's going to get away. So I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 4. And this is when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. See, a lot of times we're tempted and we're wondering, has God left us? No, he hasn't left you, but he does give you the power to resist the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. How many of you would be hungry after fasting one day? So he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, try to put yourself in Jesus' shoes. If you had the power to make something bread and you hadn't eaten in 40 days or 40 nights, you'd probably be turning those stones into bread, right? So many of us were led by our need instead of by the Spirit. Jesus could have met his immediate need for food. But that's not what the will of the Father was. So then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God," if you are the Son of God, see, he's questioning his identity, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Does that sound familiar to anybody? You know where that comes from? Psalm 91. Devil's using scripture right here. And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Because remember, it was given over to the prince of darkness, right? So he showed Jesus all of this. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Now what happens? Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. There's so much in this passage of scripture. I encourage you to read it for yourself. I've been reading it daily for a while. Jesus was fully submitted to his Father. Fully submitted. And this is a perfect example, which is why we read in James, "Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This is exactly what Jesus did. He submitted himself to God, he resisted the devil, and he left him. So many of you are trying to get the devil to leave you alone. Submit yourself to God. That's the number one step. We all have to do that. Well, how do we do that? How do you submit to someone you don't know? You have to know God to be able to submit to him. And, you know, we have this, like, kind of way of thinking that how do we really know God when we can't see him? It's a lot easier than you think, because the devil wants you to think it's hard. But it's not. How do you get to know him? How do you get to know anyone? You spend time with them, right? There's a lot of people that I know your names, and there's a lot of people in here that I don't know your names. But the people that I know your names, like, I don't necessarily know you, right? We can all know the name of Jesus, but do we know him? You get to know him by spending time with him. You don't know how? Try. Just try. Maybe you've tried before. Try again. Don't give up. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, is to give up. Turn off the TV. Turn off the most recent show that you're into. Turn off your phone. Turn off the radio if anyone listens to the radio anymore. Turn off everything and just get your Bible. Get a pen and a piece of paper. Read the Bible and get to know Jesus. So, if the devil can't make us bad, you know, maybe you think, oh, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I've got good morals. I do the right thing most of the time. If the devil can't get us to be bad, he'll just get us to be busy. And a lot of times the busyness is doing good things. It's doing volunteer work 7 days a week, never giving yourself a break to be alone with the reason you're doing the volunteer work. So there's a lot of us in here that we're not really tempted to be bad, right? But we can sure get busy. And we can get, and that busyness can distract us from the point of getting to know Jesus more and more. You know, it's not just a one time, like, I'm going to spend time today with Jesus. You spend time with him every day. Make it a priority. So Hebrews 3, 12, and 13, this comes from the Passion Translation. I typically read from the ESV, the English Standard Version, but I heard this, and I love it. It says, so search your hearts every day. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding within you. For it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is the time to encourage each other to never be stubborn or hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, most of us, if we know that something's wrong, we're not going to do it. But a lot of times we don't realize that something was wrong until after we've done it. Well, how can we avoid those things? By getting to know Jesus, by submitting to him, by living by the Spirit. So I have 3 points this morning, but we're only going to focus on one because I think that this could be definitely a three-part series. And Pastor Corey doesn't trust me enough to, I'm just kidding. But the 3 points, and I was going to try to get them all in, but I just don't think that I have time this morning. But one of the biggest temptations, I think, of all time, no matter what era you grew up in, is the temptation to conform to the patterns of this world. That's what happened with Jesus in the first temptation. He was tempted to meet an immediate need. And that would have been really cool. Turning stones into bread? I mean, what we would have seen that as a miracle, right? But it wasn't the will of the Father. The second temptation is the temptation to believe facts over truth. And I just want to hit that just real quick before we go back to number one. But in the second temptation, whenever the devil used scripture on Jesus, he was using something that was factual. It's true, right? But it wasn't what was going to set Jesus free in that moment. And we have to stop believing facts, things that actually did happen, like I said in the about your past, maybe you're focused on something that actually did happen, but it's not the truth of who you are. And if you turn on any news channel, you will see a bunch of facts, things that have happened. But are you going to live by those things, or are you going to live by the truth of God's word and what God says? The third point, the temptation to put our affection on the things of the world. The enemy knows he can defeat us if he gets us to worship anything or anyone other than God. That's why he wanted, and Jesus knew. Jesus knew that the authority had been given to the devil. But Jesus also knew long term what he was going to be doing. He was going to be taking that authority back. So he could have, you know, in that moment, Jesus was fully God and fully man. He came in the flesh to be a man. So he had all of the things that we go through. He was a human. And he could have, in that moment, he could have thought, oh, wow, this is my chance. This is when I'm going to get all authority. I mean, God, my father told me I would be taking all authority back from the devil. This could be my moment. No. Because if you're going to worship or idolize anything other than God, you're defeated. That's how the devil knows how to get you. But don't. Put your gaze on Jesus. All right, so back to point one, which is where we're going to land this morning, is the temptation to conform to the patterns of the world. So Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, like Jesus with the bread, turning the stones into bread. He had that immediate need. A lot of times when we have a need, we just go fulfill it without even thinking about, is this what God wants? And listen, I'm not saying that we've got to, you know, ask God permission before we do anything. But the thing is, if you will learn to spend time with Jesus and you will submit yourself to him, you're going to be walking by the Spirit instead of by the flesh. A lot of us say, I don't know what God's will is. Renew your mind. It says it right here. By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you, you may discern what the will of God is. You can discern what the will of God is when you have a renewed mind. When you put your mind on things above and not on things of the world. And it is so easy for us to put our mind on the things of the world. You don't have to look far to get discouraged. Bad news is on every corner. And a lot of times, we like to be the reporter of bad news. Have you ever noticed that when you hear something bad that happened, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to go tell somebody. Because now you have the latest. There's just something about being the bearer that is so tempting to us. It's like we hear something that's happened, and instead of, you know, hearing that situation and saying, oh God, you trust me to know this situation, and now I can be the one that is going to pray for the breakthrough for this person, for whatever's going on. Do that first. And a lot of times, you know, if you're in the church culture, you go to church prayer meetings and things like that. A lot of times what happens, you know, we bring all these prayer requests, but it's more of like, look what I heard. And you spend more time talking about it than you do praying about it. And you talk to other people about it before you ever talk to God about it. So we get to test and discern what the will of God is when we have a renewed mind. We can't do that if our mind is filled with the worries and the cares of the world. We can't do that if our mind is focused on what we've done in the past or what somebody else has done in the past. So transformation that is talked about right here in Romans 12, verse 2, being transformed takes time. Spiritually, it takes time. It's not just going to happen one time. How many of you have ever thought, well, I need to get in shape, so you go to the gym for a day? If you want to see a physical change, you know that you have to keep at it, right? My fiance Carter, he's been asking me, how do I get to look like you? You know? I'm like, well, you just gotta go to the gym. It's the opposite. I don't want to look like him though. The point is, if you keep working at it, you're going to get there. You want to be close to Jesus? Spend time with him. So for me, I keep a journal. I know that Pastor Corey keeps a journal. He talks about it. He has prayer journals and probably all kinds of journals. I don't know if you have like a non-prayer journal or what. I just started keeping mine together because it was too much to, you know, write my thoughts down, and then I was like, no, this is all prayer. So part of keeping a journal for me is to see the transformation that happens over time. Every now and then I'll go back a year or two or three, and I'll look at the things that I was writing, and I'm like, oh, wow. Was I really that immature? Yeah, I was. But it's crazy because even since I became a part of NEC from the first day that I walked in, the prayers that I was writing in my journal are so different than they are now. And I'm so grateful because there were things that I couldn't let go of then that now I'm like, I can't even imagine being in bondage to those things anymore. But did it happen overnight? No. It happened over a period of time when I wanted so badly the presence of God. There was a time in my life, probably like when I first started coming to NEC, where I had some hurt from my past, and I was good. I didn't really want to be around people. I was done because I didn't want to get hurt again, right? That's what a lot of us do. I didn't want to do that again. And there was a time in that period of time that I felt like I didn't really have the hunger that I used to have for God. How many of you used to hunger for God more than you feel like you do right now? Pray for God to increase your hunger. That's what I did. There was times where I didn't really feel like having my Jesus time. I didn't feel like opening my Bible and reading it. I didn't feel like praying, but I prayed that God would increase my hunger, that he would give me a hunger and a thirst for him. And now, you're not going to mess with my Jesus time. I'm going to have it. You can ask my fiance. But just because you don't have the feeling of it, doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. Find a portion of scripture, find one verse, and meditate on it. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in reading the Bible. He'll lead you to what you need to read. May not be the way that you thought it should look, but just keep going. There's a lot of times, you know, if you were going to go back to the being in shape thing, there's some times that you might not feel like exercising. Does that mean you shouldn't do it? No, you should do it. there's a lot of times that you don't feel like you should pray or read your Bible. Does that mean that you shouldn't do it? No. Do it anyway. Because feelings are not truth. Feelings are feelings. They're great servants. I heard this said one time. Feelings are great servants, but they're terrible masters. They're really good for showing you, for being an indicator if something's going on. But if you're going to live by your feelings, you're going to do a lot of things that you're going to regret. And a lot of women in here, if you live by your feelings, you're like this. Yeah, thank you, Tiffany. She gave him a good elbow. But journaling, you know, maybe some of it, that's not for you. My journal is kept on my computer. I type faster than I write, so I like it better to do that. But the point is not journaling. You don't have to write down all your prayers. I used to think you did. But you don't have to. But the thing is like when you do that, when you set aside that intentional time, it just helps. It helps me to focus on God, to put my focus on him. And that's what we need to do. So in being tempted to conform to the patterns of the world, we are often tempted to walk in the flesh instead of the spirit. That's what the devil wanted Jesus to do. He wanted him to walk in the flesh and fulfill the need that was at hand. I'm going to read Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's the thing. I don't think anyone who knows Jesus necessarily sets out to do any of those things that are listed there. I don't think anyone in here is like, oh yeah, I'm going to go, you know, do this. I'm going to be jealous. I'm going to have a fit of anger. No, those things happen when we take our gaze off of Jesus. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, things creep in. That's why it's important, the verse that I shared at the beginning in Hebrews, search your hearts every day. And if you get there and you can't see anything, ask God to search your heart, which you should do both. God, search my heart. And if you do this every day, there's a lot of things that you'll be able to get rid of that you won't have to, you know, have this, feel like you have to have this big deliverance from all of these things that you've done. If you'll do it on a daily basis, it's so much easier. It's like showering. If you shower every day, it's a lot easier to get clean than if you only shower once a year. You can't just, it's a daily thing. Just because we can't see our spirit doesn't mean that we don't need to feed our spirit. See, we can get thrown into all these works of the flesh. You can get to a point where you have an idol in your life and you don't even realize that you've got an idol in your life. You don't even realize that you're giving more attention to this thing than you are to God. All of a sudden, everything's making you mad and you're having these fits of anger and rage. What's the issue? You're not submitted to God. That area of your life is not submitted to God. Whatever holds your gaze holds your heart. We must be intentional about what holds our gaze. The ways of the world, or is it God? So in the same way that we don't intentionally do, like, you know, set out to do those things that I was just, the works of the flesh, we don't just decide that we're going to walk in peace. And here I am, just going to go walk in peace today. Here I am, going to go walk in love today. See, we focus a lot on the fruit of the Spirit, and we're like, I want to live by the fruit of the Spirit. When your focus, I'm going to be cheesy for a second. When your focus is the fruit and not the root, the tree will never grow. Your root system for the fruit of the Spirit is a relationship with Jesus. Galatians 5:22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Why is there no law? Because when you're focused on the Spirit, you don't have to be intentional about not breaking the rules. When your focus is on Jesus and you have a relationship with him, these things are just going to spill out because your root system is right. You're growing the right tree, that the right fruit's going to come off in your life. When we're focused on spending time with Jesus, we are in step with the Spirit and our desire is for him. You don't have a desire for him right now, ask him to give you a desire for him. And don't be led by your feelings. See, the thing is like, so if you're married, and the only thing keeping you from cheating on your spouse is that you know it's wrong, then you have issues. If your relationship is right, that's not even going to be an issue. It's not going to be something that you're going to have to try not to do. Because your focus is on your spouse. Your focus isn't on anything else. When our focus is on Jesus, our focus isn't going to be on anything else. It can't. You can't do both at the same time. I better hurry. So another way we are tempted to conform to the patterns of this world is to take matters into our own hands, especially when it comes to avenging ourselves. After all, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, right? Survival of the fittest. Everybody's after their own, right? What does the Bible have to say about avenging ourselves? Also in Romans 12, which is one of my favorite chapters. If you need a place to start, Romans 12 is a really good one. But it's challenging. Romans 12, 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, that was a quote from Proverbs 25, 21 through 22, which I think that'll be on the screen. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. A lot of us look at that as a negative thing, heaping burning coals on someone's head. But the context of this is actually that back in the day when you had to have, you know, fire to keep yourself alive for, you know, doing everything, people would walk around with a bucket on their head if their hearth fire was going out, which is their livelihood, the way that they keep their family alive. If their fire was going out, they would walk around with a bucket on their head, asking people for hot coals so that they could put them on their fire and it would keep their fire alive. So this is saying, whenever you do these things, whenever you give your enemy what they need, whenever you meet their need, you will heap burning coals on their head, which means that you will help keep them alive. And what happens? The Lord will reward you. See, the Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 15, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Here's the thing. When somebody does something wrong to you, if you respond with evil, the only thing that you're doing is breeding more evil. If you respond with kindness and you respond with grace and you respond by meeting someone's need, you're going to take them off guard and they're going to be like, what? How did you just, has anybody ever had somebody yell at you and then you respond and you're really chill? The yelling stops in most cases. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife. We've got to stop the cycle. And we all get to do that because we are living by the Spirit and not by the flesh. When you're tempted to respond in a way that the world would respond, remember your mind is renewed and you have been crucified with Christ and you've been raised with him and now his Spirit lives in you. You know, the Bible, I don't have the verse that'll be on the screen, but the Bible says that we have been, when you are in Christ, you've been crucified with him, which means that the works of the flesh, those were crucified with him, and now you live by the Spirit. A bunch of us are just walking around with a dead person that's not even alive anymore, but we're impersonating the old person. Stop. Just get with God. Know that the desires of the flesh were crucified with him. So anytime you have that, just because a thought enters your mind does not mean that you have to dwell on it or act on it. You know, when Jesus says, you know, if you look at a woman with lust, it's the same thing. Okay, here's the deal. You can look at someone, but you don't have to dwell on that thought. If the thought comes to your mind, you can say, no, that's not the Spirit. That's the flesh, and the flesh is dead. Your flesh is dead. Jesus overcame temptation to do things his way, the way of the flesh, and he submitted it to the way of his Father. Jesus paved the way for us. Now we can walk in his victory. He's already overcome all the temptation. He's overcome everything. Someone speaks rudely to you, what's your first reaction? You know, a lot of times we want to be rude back. We want to pay them back. I'll show them. Someone rips you off. Someone cuts you off, God forbid. We're going to get them back. I'm going to show you. I'm going to ride your tail so close. Yeah, you really showed them. The only thing that that does is makes it changes your day. It doesn't change theirs. Instead, try to cover up for people. Try to help people. Like if you see that someone's going to be pulling out in front of you, don't speed up so that you can show them that they really inconvenienced you. Just tap on your brakes a little bit, slow down. You're going to get there. And when you do that, you'll get there a lot more peacefully than if you sped up to show them that they cut you off or they pulled out in front of you. The point is, if you don't submit yourself to God, you will not be able to face situations in life and be happy with yourself when you look back at how you handled them. I want to live my life, and I want to be happy with the way that I handled myself in situations. And I've never, ever, ever regretted walking in love. I've never regretted that. Have I regretted being angry? Yes. Yeah, many times. So, do you have anger? Submit it to God. Do you have bitterness? Submit that to God too. Do you have unforgiveness? Submit that to God. Do you have pride? Submit that to God. Lust? Submit it to God. You get the point? Submit it to God. As I said, just because something comes into your mind, you're tempted to do something, does not mean you have to do it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 through 6 says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." Take every thought captive. When something from your past pops up and it makes you sick, because that's happened to me recently. Like, I look at things that have happened in my past, and I hate the way that I responded. I hate the things that I did. But guess what? That's not who I am. Take the thought captive. And when the enemy says, "This is who you are, you'll always be this way. You'll always be this way. You'll always be an angry person." No. Take the thought captive and submit it to God. See, Jesus got away and he got alone often. We need to do that. Instead of being busy all the time, just take a little bit of time out of every day and spend time with him. You know, his presence is, it's addicting. But so many times we just rush in and we rush out because we've got things to do. Got places to be, people to see. And a lot of us, it's not comfortable to sit still. Move past that. Move past the uncomfortability of your flesh and make yourself sit still and be with him. Jesus overcame temptation by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Get alone with him. It's not some theatrical production all the time. Most of the time, it's by yourself, searching your heart and asking God to search your heart. The point is not to be seen making a scene. The point's your heart. What does your heart look like? I want to ask you to close your eyes this morning. I'm going to ask you again, what does your heart look like? Ask him right now to search your heart and to show you anything that has not come from him. When he shows you these things, he's so sweet about it. There's nothing to be scared of. You know, we had a word last week. Remove the veil. It's okay to be vulnerable with him. You don't have to hide anything. He already knows it's there. He's not going to shame you for it. If you stay long enough in his presence, he'll take it away and he'll show you how to overcome it. He'll give you the tools. Holy Spirit, we just thank you so much for your presence this morning. Lord, help us in our everyday lives to hunger and thirst for your presence. Help help us in the battlefield of our mind to submit our thoughts to you. Because to know you is to love you, God. Help us all to know you. Keep your eyes closed. If you are someone that has struggled with your past, I want you to just lay it at the feet of Jesus right now. That's not who you are. What matters is right now. What are you going to do in this moment? You can leave it here. You can leave that past you here, and you can move forward. So, Father, I ask that you would help. Help us to do that. Help us to leave our past at your feet and to walk in the righteousness that King Jesus paid for us to walk in. Help us not to rush in and out of your presence, to feel your presence and then to just be satisfied with the little bit. Help us to stay and to live from your presence. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.